so touched and honored, but I'll have to show you this. This is like the height of invites in all the world right here. I just got to show you. I don't think I could just do it justice to be invited to such a thing. So I simply have got to show. Hang on a second. Can you imagine that I just got this and that Big Daddy Weave wants to personally invite you and your congregation, that's me, to their family vacation to spark a revival in your home? Because let me tell you something. A fella with the name like Big Daddy Weave, and I am all on it. I mean, you want to talk about too much anointing in this room. I mean, if you showed up to Big Daddy Weave at his family retreat, right? I mean, it's Big Daddy Weave time, baby. Are you kidding me? Big Daddy Weave wants to personally invite you and your congregation. Yo, yo, Big Daddy Weave! Come on. God is doing amazing things, and we would love to be part of the transformation taking place. We want to be a part of the transformation. Okay, I'm sure you do. Ah. Join us and our friends as we gather to celebrate and learn more about the foundation of family and Jesus' incredible ministry for leaving a legacy in our children and grandchildren. Because your whole church is invited, we have incredible group rates not shown in the email exclusively for Old Path Church. Well, sorry there, Big Daddy Weave, but it's called Old Paths Baptist Church. It's not Old Path Church. All right? And I just want to know if any of you could imagine me and Aaron, yo, 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 hanging out with Big Daddy Weave. Who could see me and Paul and Aaron sitting next to Big Daddy Weave? Right? Who could see it? Come on, man. Are you kidding me? What an honor. Who wouldn't want to go? Right? Who wouldn't want to go to a family retreat headlined by Big Daddy Weave? Let me see. Here we go. You ready? No way. This is Big Daddy Weave. Are you kidding me? Oh, that's just, yeah, that's us, man. That is totally OPVC right here. Look at this. That is all easily. How could it not be? Right? How could it not be Big Daddy Weave? I'm telling you. It's an honor of a lifetime. Look at that. I mean, all right. Probably not going with Big Daddy Weave anywhere. I tend to not really, I don't know, hang out with guys whose names are like Big Daddy Weave. You know, in my pot smoking days when I was lost, I'd have a drug dealer named, you know, Big Daddy Weave. Right? I mean, that's Big Daddy Weave is the guy that I bought dope off of on the corner. just saying that's who it is. As a lost man, that's the dude I was like, Big Daddy Weave? Yeah, he's got the smoke. That's the guy that you bought. Not the guy you go to a family retreat revival. Oh, it's too easy to make fun of him. It just is too easy. While you're in the laughing mood, if you are, maybe you're not and you're highly annoyed at me right now, which you must realize I really don't care. But anyway, I am going to show you something. I have a blooper video for you, a little short blooper video. To get signed into my channel here. This is a blooper video that Brother Andrew and I did. Well, we didn't actually plan to do a blooper video. That's not how that happened. Okay? That isn't quite how that happened. Okay? We were putting together a video and, well, it's kind of like Carl is going to be when he rides on a train with me for 5 hours. Or he rides anywhere with me for 5 hours in the car. Right? Okay. Go. Are we going to do bloopers?
We got plenty.
Should we do an outtake of bloopers?
Sure.
What are we doing?
Why are we here?
What's that? Yeah, they're too loud. It's real here. Everything behind you is fake.
This is a green screen.
Except this right here. This is
not a green screen.
Not a real wall. No, this is whole PB's. Cut! We're starting over. Cut! All right. So, as you can hear the kids screaming in the background, we're making this professional video. That sounded kind of bad. Oh. So, do you think we'll make it to the airport?
Oh.
Scooby's turn.
All right, enthusiasm.
No enthusiasm.
When we get to Rome,
yeah.
If they're going to, like, look you up on YouTube.
Stop flattering
we're
me.
We're recording, I think.
Hey, Cooley.
Welcome. All right.
Are we on?
Here we are.
Am I winking and a click there?
Here we are in our...
In our expensive studio, bro. All right. We ain't on. Okay. So, for your viewing pleasure... For your viewing pleasure, I'll put that on as a separate upload here later on today. Once I figure out how to do that. But, you know, there's like a dynamic shift here. There will be, yes, by the way, Aaron was the kid screaming in the background. Yes. I had to literally set armed guards by the door and push Aaron's conversation to the other side of the room down the other way so we would actually be able to do the video. Because Aaron has one pitch. Loud. That's the one he has. Loud. He's the kid that I have to get to the other side of the room. Distracting him with, like, Scooby snacks to get him on the other side of the room so he doesn't stay there in front of the door and have a conversation. What are you talking about? I'm talking about pizza! And that's how Aaron, you know, he has like a, it's kind of like dealing with a Pokemon figure or a Japanese animation figure with a really deep voice. I'm telling you. You can literally hear Aaron down the road talking. Anyway, okay. So, We'll put this on as a separate blooper upload for you. And by the way, we will probably have plenty of these bloopers on our road trip. Because with Andrew recording, like, everything known to man, it's going to be funny. Obviously, there's going to be, like, very sober and serious times, obviously. God is working on our hearts and teaching us things and showing us things and all that. But there's a time to laugh and a time to cry, right? So there'll be both. We'll be in tears at some points and sometimes tears but with laughter. At other times, we'll be solemnly thinking on things, you know, that the Lord is working on our hearts for. But there's also that time to laugh, too. Have that as well. And we will. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I am very blessed beyond measure. I better move this out of the way. Otherwise, people are broadcasting. I get stuff said to me. Sorry, I'm trying to. Okay, hold on. Okay. All right. I'm selling a lawnmower and snowblower because I got a different piece of equipment and I got to pay for it. So I'm selling it to pay for it. So. Because of that. Because of that, hang on a second. I gotta look. I gotta make sure that this is not showing. Check in. Oh. There we go. I hit the person on this channel. Causing all the trouble. Sorry about that. There's people that they really do like to come on and cause trouble. Unfortunately, that's what they get a kick out of. They don't really have anything better to do but to cause trouble. So. Okay. I got rid of that. Is the sound cutting out? No problem here. Okay. Yes, sound keeps cutting out. Okay. Well, I don't know why. Maybe I turned my head. Maybe that's what it is. Let me check that again to make sure. Yeah, it won't let me remove them for some reason. Let's see if it removed them. They're not coming up on my restream, which means they probably... And YouTube is acting really wonky here. I don't know what the deal is, but anyway, my signal's good there. Okay, You don't have, okay, I want you to understand something. This is a dictatorship. You don't have freedom of speech on this channel. You have freedom of speech on your own channel. You don't have freedom of speech in this channel. Okay? Let me help you out with that. In case you're confused about something. It ain't freedom of speech for you to come on my channel and say what you want. You can go on your channel where nobody's listening to anything you have to say, and you can say what you want to there. But when you come here, you have a benevolent dictator. And that benevolent dictator brings the hammer down when he hears heresy or people speak against Jesus Christ. I don't give you free speech to speak against Jesus Christ on this channel. Okay? That's how that works. You run your mouth in a blasphemous way against Jesus Christ, I'm going to take you off of here. Period. You don't get to do that here. Okay? There we go. Capiche? That help you understand? Help clear out the cobwebs in your brains? Okay, good. There we go. Wouldn't want you to be confused about that anyway. Want you to really understand that. Like, I make no bones about it. Like, really clearly. Like that's, yeah. I'm that guy. Not to be confused with that guy. Okay? All right. So here we go. Well, we have a visit from Rain Country today. Probably raining over there. I think it's always raining in there. Okay, by the way, let me give you a little bit of an update here. And the Lord has led me away from going to Spain on this trip. And through prayer and the Lord's guidance, I just really do not believe that it's the will of the Lord for me to do that at this time. So, we won't be going there. We'll be finishing our trip in Croatia. And as the Lord would have us to do. And I'm excited about that. So there's much to do with Carl and Mary. So I need to spend that last couple days there with them. And that's the direction that the Lord has led me in. So that's what we'll be doing. But some other time. I'm sure this won't be the last time I go to Europe. I'm sure the Lord will keep me quite busy with different things like that in the ministry as he expands the ministry and does all those things. Okay? But you pray for us that the Lord would bless us and give us that guidance. By the way, thank you to all who have given. The Lord has used people to give. Surprisingly, just different people that I never would have guessed, obviously, and the Lord used that, and we thank the Lord for that. So, and so God has abundantly provided for us, and we are very grateful, and we have. We have work to do, you know, and different. We have different things to pay off and everything else, but we're fine. The Lord has blessed us, and you know, if God so leads you to give, that's great too. Other expenses are going to come up before we leave. We've got to pay the other half of some of those other bills and all that good stuff, and then there's some private things that you know that we'll do as well. Praise the Lord. And obviously, you know, it's a ministry. Whatever the Lord leads and okay. Let's see. Brother Andrew said he posted a video of snow. What in the world are you talking about? Winter preaching in the snow. Okay. St. Paddy's Day pub crawl. So he posted. Anyway, I'm excited about, I'm getting, you know, it's funny because I'm getting more excited about this as time goes. and more confident in what the Lord would have me to do. And everything else that from the Lord, not confidence. And to lose that, but I do have confidence in God's promises, what God has commanded us to do. Yep, sound is cutting out now. Okay, I don't know if it's the microphone's not close enough to me. I don't know. Let's see. Right, let me see. Not sure why the why we're cutting out. Let me just look at the numbers. The numbers look good here. If there's something that's cutting out the microphone, I'm not sure what it is. Let me ask Andrew to see if cutting the mic. Right? Let's try that here. Okay. I don't know what it is exactly, or if it's something. I don't know for sure. The bit rate is fine. Everything is, I mean, we're in the green with everything there. Let's see. Got the mic. Okay. It sounds glitchy, say. Okay. Well, if he does have to interrupt, he'll come in and he'll check it. And if he checks it, it'll buffer for a little while because he's interrupting the signal to come in, okay? So don't think that it's going to pop off because it won't, but it shouldn't anyway. But anyway, I think it's because you're moving around. Okay, what do you want me to do? Stand still? I don't exactly stand still very well. Yes, get closer. All right. Well, what am I going to do? Hover over the desk? Goodness. All right. Like a robot. I'm going to be stuck here. All right. Is that better? Goodness gracious. You. All right. Well, hopefully that's better. I think I got it. Stiff as a board standing here. All right. We'll figure it out. Anyway, you keep praying for us. Praise the Lord. God has provided. Sounds good when you're directly on it. Okay. All right. Okay, mind my business. She was over there. Yeah, praise the Lord. We're excited about going over there. You keep praying for us. And if the Lord so leads anyone else to give, they can do it. Let's see. Not there. That's the bloopers video. You can't do it there. Let's see here. You can do it. Let's see. Right here. Okay. That shows you how. All right. And I think we're doing good now, but, you know, other expenses will come up as we're on the road, as we're there, before we get there and everything like that. We should be pretty good. But you know what? God knows. So... you do what the Lord leads you to do with everything like that. We will have extra expenses, and we'll still have more before we leave because you got to pay off a few things and everything like that. But the Lord has provided thus far, and you know, we're working right now on the money that we're going to use, you know, while we're there and things like that. So we are very blessed by what the Lord has done. Okay. All right, and what the Lord has used you to do, and the generosity of Old Paths Baptist Church, God's people there, and also God's people online out there. We're thankful for you, and thank you for giving and faithfulness, and you won't be sorry. You'll be blessed by the entire thing. I can promise you that. I believe that upon the goodness of God there. We'll be definitely blessed by everything. With that, okay, well, we're going to get started here, and I'm going to show you some things here. And this Side B Christianity, I don't know if you've ever heard of this before, but it's basically revoice sodomite LGBTQ Marxist theology. Marxist feminist gay witchcraft is what it is. And that's what it is. So we're going to look at that. I'm going to show you this. And by the way, I told the dissenter, and there's another part of this. This first video I'm going to show you is from him. The second one I'm going to show you is from a feminist that is just out and out lying and mischaracterizing God's people completely, men especially. Haters of men. They hate men. So we're gonna show you this, and we're gonna show you exactly what they're doing. But first, this is the gay witchcraft Marxist theology that is that end times antichrist religion. Now, before we get to this, I want to show you again what the Bible says about this. It does say, somebody might ask me, Pastor, why do you have to talk about this stuff? Beloved, let's go to the book of Jude. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why, preacher? Why? For there are certain atheists? No, they're not atheists. No, they're not atheists. For there are certain men crept in, unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. That's the man I'm going to show you. Part of the Bible Project. Ungodly men. What do? Oh, they teach atheism and they teach you to believe there is no God. Oh, no. No, that's easy to refute. Atheism is a stupidity that even the devils did not fall into. No, this is much more diabolical. This is much more dangerous. This is much more satanic. This is the Antichrist beast religion. And it is worse than anything that an atheist could ever teach you. Oh, it's way worse than an atheist could teach you. It is what more men will fall to in the end times and die and go to hell with than the number of atheists on the entire planet. It is this doctrine right here, this, which I'll show you in another place. Remember, I've always taught you that the end times is full of antichrist, counterfeit Christ. And by the way, God has never let me stop preaching and broadcasting and teaching you on the true Christ and against the counterfeit Christ. Because the counterfeit Christ is there are multiple ones, by the way. It's not just one. There are multiple counterfeit Christs. There shall arise false Christs. Plural. There are many. So, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. They are ungodly men. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. What else but this fruit booty dude that I'm about ready to show you. This limp-wristed, fruit booty, homosexual pervert that is grabbing a Bible, false one, counterfeit Bible, and preaching a false Jesus. Now, I know that's too straight for some of you. You should be nicer. You should say it nicer. You should, because nobody's going to listen to you. when you say it so mean. You should describe them as really nice people. They really love cutting the genitalia off children. They really love perverting them with a false Christ and sending them to hell. And you should talk nice to them. You should be more diplomatic when you explain it. Maybe if you just lightened up your voice a bit, limped your wrist a little bit, gave them little huggy-wuggies, maybe we'd listen to you. But because you don't want to give them huggy-wuggies, because you don't want to talk nicey-wicey about them, you're just mean. Well, does it sound like Jude was talking nice? He calls them creeps. They're the creeps. He says they're creeps. For there are certain men crept in. How do they, what does it mean to creep in? Look at that. Comes from the same word, creep. They're a bunch of creeps. Can't you find a nicer way to say it about them, though? Can't you just find a nicer way to say it? You could, really, couldn't you? You have to be so sarcastic all the time and say things like that. Why don't you find a really nice way to say it? I'll save that for the Fruit Loops. They can talk like that. And you can fall prey to what they say if you want to. But I'm going to lay it out flat. I'm going to lay it out straight. I'm not. They're a bunch of devils. Now, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. What does that mean? Greasy grace. Looseness, irregular indulgence of animal desires, wantonness, lustfulness, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. They excite lust and they promote irregular indulgences. Oh, so you're saying they're perverts. Yeah, they're a bunch of gay witch perverts. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. These are the witches. These are the sorcerers. That's what I'm telling you. You're looking for people like the dude from the Church of Satan. Nah. Everybody knows they're dumb devils. No, this is much worse. When a guy walks around looking like Baphomet, it's pretty obvious. Oh. That dude's a devil. Uh-oh. For there are certain men crept in unawares who before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. And he compares it to the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. Oh, there you go, talking about them fallen angels again that procreated with women and had giants. Oh, don't be talking like that. What do you mean they left their first estate? Yeah. And what were they like? How did they sin? Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers. Preacher, that ain't very enough. You should try to say that a lot nicer. What's the matter with you anyway, talking that mean about them people like that? You shouldn't talk mean about them people like that. They're good people. What's the matter with you anyway, talking like that? Well, Jude said they're a bunch of filthy dreamers. Bunch of filthy dreamers. They got a dream, all right, like Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream. Filthy dreamers. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh, they despise dominion, they speak evil of dignities. I don't have to bring a railing accusation against them. I don't. I just tell the truth about them. Filthy dreamers. Defile the flesh. Leave their first estate. Effeminate. Then, of course, this goes right along with the end times and the apostasy. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What I'm about to show you is a man that's preaching doctrines of devils. By the way, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. I want to help you with something. If you believe the doctrine that Revoice gives you, that and what side B Christianity says, you're not saved. You've never been saved, and you're dead in your sins. Because if you were a sodomite, and you claim to come to Christ, and you claim to be saved, God takes that affections and lusts, and he removes the power of them over you. Now, you're still going to battle the flesh your whole life. That part's true. But that is without natural affection. God takes those desires away. They don't have the same hold as they used to. But if you say, well, the answer is for me to always be attracted to the same sex, but never marry, or never fornicate, or never, then you didn't get delivered. Because what these people teach with this Revoice, they forbid to marry. Because what they're telling, and command of say, what they're telling you is that you have an orientation. No, you have a sin nature. And unless you're delivered from the power of the sin nature, unless you're made new, from the power of the sin nature, then you're going to give over to it automatically. You're going to have no power with God. And to tell them that, well, you just need to stay celibate the rest of your life. No, you need to be supernaturally changed by the Spirit of God. But listen up. Tim Mackey of the Bible Project.
American churches, single people feel isolated and not included and alone. Because the dominant paradigm is get married and have kids. That's the pathway to a meaningful life.
Okay, first of all, the pathway to a meaningful life is to be in the will of God and obey God, fear God, and give Him glory. If that takes you to be fruitful and multiply, to get married, to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and God gives you a wife or gives the wife a husband or whatever the case may be, that's fulfillment. But this man, because he truly hates the God of the Bible. And he truly hates the scriptures. And he truly hates traditional family.
And I just to be super clear, I'm really pretty sure that Jesus doesn't share that view. He didn't get married. Right?
Okay. So, what he just said is that Jesus didn't get married. Jesus didn't come to get married and to have children. Jesus came to die on the cross for sinners and to be buried and to rise again from the dead. Jesus is God. He did not need a woman to complete him. He did not need a woman to help him with loneliness. The Bible says very clearly, Jesus said it. Here it is. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. 99% of born again believers are going to be ones that have a desire to be married. That's just plain and simple. Especially born again men. That's just the truth. Jesus is God. He didn't need a woman. You're not God. Jesus was born to die. You are here to fulfill the will of God while you're on this earth. That's why you're here. And for most people, that involves being married, having children, raising a family for the Lord, having a godly heritage. If single people feel left out in a church, it might be because they're not doing enough for the Lord in that church. Or they're being selfish. Because I'll be honest with you, you may not like what I'm about to say, but for the most part, my experience in pastoring people and dealing with people has been, the longer a man or a woman is single, the more selfish they become in many ways. That's been the predominant situation and circumstance that I've ran across. And I'm not being unkind. And I'm talking male, I'm talking female. I'm talking old, and I'm talking young. They are very selfish, and they get so stuck in their ways. And when they've been single for so long, and they get married, they're super, super selfish. It's all about, well, how can my spouse make my life happy? How can they cater to my needs? They become self-centered, selfish. They can't have anything out of the way. Nothing can be misplaced. Nothing can be displaced. Nothing can be put in the wrong area. Everything has to be done exactly the way that they want it done, that they've done it for years. Everything has to be folded this way, put away this way, done this way, down to the minutest detail. And if it's not done their way, they're not happy. Because they're selfish. So that's been my experience. That's why the Apostle Paul tells them, I would that the younger women would marry, bear children, guide the home. But don't be putting down God's design for marriage. Don't be putting down God's design for what is right. Because that's just biblical. If you feel left out as a single person in a church full of families, maybe you ought to be helping some families. Maybe you ought to be spending time with them. Maybe you ought to be being a servant until God brings you a husband or a wife. You know, as a man, it's different, obviously, but a lady has a lot of opportunities to help families. A man's going to help out with different things. But it's a life about others, not about yourself. Everything I heard from this guy is, what can I do for self? What can I do for self? Oh, man. And by the way, let me tell you this, too. If you're out there a single person and you're not in a local New Testament church and you're lonely, well, maybe you better get your rear end to a local New Testament church and serve God. Amen.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like historical fact number one. Do you think Jesus did not have a meaningful life? Do you think Jesus actually didn't think meaningful life was possible because he didn't have sex and he didn't get married? Like, that's, we laugh at it because all of a sudden we realize it's so ridiculous. He had probably the most...
I'm not laughing at it. I think you're an idiot. I think you're an absolute lying fool. That's what I think. I think you're a witch and a charlatan is what I think you are. And I think you're standing in front of a group of young people and you're deceiving them. That's what you're doing. That's exactly what you're doing. This man is deceiving people.
Most meaningful human life that a human has ever had. But somehow we don't compute that. And so we end up creating churches where people who are not married feel second class, and where people who are gay feel even more ostracized. Because where do they fit?
You don't fit. That's the point. An unrepentant sodomite doesn't fit in the church. Do you get that? Just like an unrepentant fornicator does not fit in the church. Just like an unrepentant drunkard does not fit in the church. Just like an unrepentant, a railer doesn't fit in the church. Any person that is an unrepentant person that wants to live in their sin will not fit in the church. Easily. That's why they don't fit. You don't change the Bible to make them fit.
Right? And so here we're right to it. In Jesus' view, there are multiple ways that a human can image God's love. What does a life of singleness, whether you're straight, whether you're gay, it doesn't matter. What does a life of singleness dedicated to Jesus lead to? You have enormous amounts of time.
If you are a single homosexual, you're not a Christian, and you don't have a life in Christ, and it leads to hell. You are going to hell. Your nature has not been changed. You love your sin.
Time and resources are free now to dedicate to serving others, to loving others in the name of Jesus. And the history of the church is marked by incredible, incredible heroes and heroines of the faith who have done that. And their lives were not diminished in one bit. And so if I'm a follower of Jesus and I sense the high calling to not be married and to give my life, sexual orientation doesn't matter, he's calling me to not have sex with people of the opposite gender or the same gender. He doesn't highlight one as more than the other. He just says sex has its place within the covenant symbol making of the image of God. It's not the only way to symbol in the image of God, but it is that way. In Messiah Jesus...
That is not the image of God. The marriage bed does not symbolize our relationship with God. They are a bunch of perverts And I'm going to show you how they're just occultic as all they are. They're occultic. I'm going to show you the next video. Man, I got to keep moving, but I'll show you the next video. They're occultic. This guy's a witch. He's a straight up witch. The marriage bed is not a symbol of fornication. Consummating the marriage is not who God is. The scriptures never tell us to focus on that. Focus on describing the marriage bed as something to do with your relationship with God. Really? Really? Now, the marriage bed is undefiled, and it's a blessing from God. But I don't take my Bible doctrine and analyze the consummation of marriage and focus on that. What a pervert. Sounds like Jack Scott and his book on intimacy with God, it was called. And it was perverted. And then he was doing perverted things on... It's just a bunch of...
Jesus, there is no male or female, no slave or free, no Jew or non-Jew, no gay, no straight, just beautiful human...
Yeah, it doesn't say no gay, no straight. That's not even anywhere near in there.
Humans made in the image of God who are deeply flawed and who all need God's grace.
What did we say he did with the grace of God? He turns it into lasciviousness, didn't he? That's what he's doing. What he's calling that is the grace of God.
Why is it that
Here's
we develop coping habits? Yep, self-preservation.
Now he's going to show you his Eastern mysticism, and he's going to say, well, Jesus was like this Eastern mystic witch.
Observation mechanisms, and these become so wired into the physical neuronal pathways in our brain, we'd actually start to imagine the world a certain way, and we cannot see the world any other way. And this just builds, and this just builds, and this just builds. But there are moments when one Catholic priest, Father Thomas Keating, who I've learned a lot about prayer from, he calls...
Whoa! Should that be a warning for you that he's learning from Catholic mystics? Can you smell the Jesuitism? Can you smell the Jesuit coadjutor? Can you smell the gay witchcraft? I can! Stinks like sulfur! Smells like hell!
This is the ego-level consciousness. But there is something that happens when all of our guards are down, and this especially happens when we're asleep. Are you with me? Right? When we're asleep. Because you're still conscious, but you're working on your body is working on a different level. It's like, it's soul level, it's being level consciousness. And somehow when you're in that vulnerable state, human...
Eastern mysticism, he's telling you to empty your mind. He's telling you that he's a mystic. He's talking about emptying your mind, nirvana, right? He's talking about contemplative mysticism. I've taught you on it. Go back and look at it. I'll show you where to find it. Okay. There was one on Christian tarot cards a while back. Centered prayer, visualization. Here it is. Contemplative mysticism. Here you go. Beth Moore, Witches in Church. Contemplative mysticism back in 2019. Ecumenical occult movement mysticism. New age mysticism, centered prayer, visualization, occultic prayer practices. Okay? Okay, there you go. Contemplative mysticism in churches. Here's another one here. Okay. So this is what he's talking about. This is the same thing that he is talking about. Yes, Aaron, that is how you get devils. That's why we call them witches.
Human beings are open to reality in a way that we are fully guarded against when we're in our ego conscious moments. You guys with me? And all of a sudden I realized, like, this is what the biblical authors are talking about. They're just using the language and imagery of gardens and clouds and in-between skies. But what they're really trying to tell us is that you and I actually live in a subversion of reality. And that there is a much fuller, deeper soul level of reality. Today, you can be with me in paradise. Are you with me?
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Goodness.
I'm really feeling this inspiration. Now, maybe not in this room, but I know that in many, especially Western, Protestant, conservative environments, when you start talking this way, people can get twitchy. And when you start talking about elevated levels of consciousness, right, and experiencing the mystical presence of God. But first of all, let me just respond in as hopefully non-snarky a way as I can.
Oh, you could be as snarky as you want to, Fruity Boy, because I'll be just as snarky back with you. I got no problem with it. I wish that I was standing in front of you right now. I wish that I was standing outside preaching outside of your event and facing you face to face, preaching the Bible to your little limp-wristed self. You are a witch. This is how witchcraft is introduced mainstream to people. Watch how he's doing it. It says, oh, you get twitchy. No, it's not called getting twitchy. It's called a soldier ready for war. Ready to take my 66 canon King James Bible, point it directly at you, and blast you with that King James.
For someone who's like, this sounds like Eastern mysticism or something like that, let us just remember, where did the Jesus movement originate?
The Jesus movement originated with a bunch of hippie Fruit Loops over in California. See the Jesus people sermons that I did. See the Jesus people broadcast. That's where. But my God has nothing to do with you. My God has nothing to do with what you're describing. What you're describing is witchcraft, and Jesus did not do centering prayer. Jesus did not pray like that, and he never instructed us to pray like that. You can see how Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. You can see how Jesus prayed in the book of Matthew. You can see how Jesus prayed when he taught his disciples. See, these guys get you away from the scriptures.
It originated in the East. And I really don't think Jesus was just reciting Bible verses all night long, like on the mountain. I'm sure that he was reciting whole psalms, and that those psalms were sending his consciousness traversing the universe with his Father in prayer. Are you with me?
No. The Bible does not say that Jesus took the prayer to Psalms and read them so it traversed his mind up to the heavens to his Father. He did not teach us to do that. He is literally teaching witchcraft here. Openly, but what do you expect from a gay witch? What do you expect from a gay witch?
With me. And whatever it is that happened in the upper room on Pentecost, like, it wasn't a Bible study. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Do you see how he's mocking Bible study? Do you see how he's mocking the Word of God? These guys are devils, man. These guys are devil-possessed. This is that seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's who they are. I'm sure he does, Jacob, deny the doctrine of hell. I'm sure he does. He don't want to go there, and he don't want anybody else to know that they're on their way there. Okay. Now I want to find... Think here. Where was that? Oh, not that one. This one. We watched part of this video, but we didn't watch all of this video. Here is the SBC boy toy, Andy Wood.
And I want us to fit.
This is the SBC boy toy, Andy Wood, who I maintain is got to be a sodomite. Got to be a sodomite. Got to be a sexual pervert. Has to be. Nobody. Nobody can say what this guy says if he ain't got some limp in his wrist. To coin the phrase that Jacob did, Candy Boy, that's this guy right here. Here we go. You're going to hear what he says, how he compares. This is the witchcraft. The emotional plea, the tears, in order to get the church to accept sin and sinful relationships. This is witchcraft. Please understand. This is witchcraft. Trying to get you to accept something in the church that God has rejected in his word. And that emotional pleas become the reasoning behind it and not sound Bible doctrine. That is what witches do, okay? This is what witchcraft is.
Finish our time together on this, and I want us to see how we're all on level playing field when it comes to our need for God's grace in our lives. Because that same passage we looked at a little bit earlier, when we come back to it, there's more conversation around the things that God says this is not right for our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourself."
And exactly what witches do. Right? I don't know how to turn it up louder. Let's see. I might have to get... Let me go to my, okay, let me turn that up here. There we go.
Yourselves. Now, if you are gay, and this is the passage of scripture that somebody has used to tell you that you are going to hell, I want to say I'm sorry.
I want to say I'm sorry. I'm really sorry that someone told you that you're going to hell because you're a sodomite, unrepentant sodomite that loves your sin and rejects Jesus Christ to lord over you.
That's not what this is teaching. In fact, watch what Paul does next. He says this. Here's the list. He says, those who indulge in sexual sin, or those who worship idols, or those who commit adultery, or male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or are greedy people, or drunkards, or abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let's have a moment of honesty. We don't have to say which one, but how many of you can identify in that list of sins at least one time at some point in your life you have violated that standard? Just raise.
Okay, so here's the thing. Let's stop there for a second, okay? Because what he's saying basically is if you ever committed any sin in your life, well, then you're in this list and then you can't be saved. That's what he's comparing it to. No. What Paul is talking about is those that profess to be saved and continue to live in sin. Romans 6 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? But see, here's the thing. They don't believe the gospel changes people. They believe it leads them the same way. That they're not supernaturally born again by the Spirit of God.
Raise your hands up high. Okay, the rest of you, you're next because you're lying, right? So, if that's what the Bible teaches, if that means that we're going to go to hell, as a result of that, every one of us would be sentenced to an eternity apart from Jesus based upon that list of sins. And maybe you've been a part of a church that zeroed in on one of those areas of sins. All of those, every single one of us, as human beings, are broken before God in need of a Savior. Even of ourselves, we deserve to spend eternity apart from Jesus at a place called hell. And notice how Paul, when he highlights it, when he talks about the subject of homosexuality, he doesn't say homosexuality. He says it's the practice of homosexuality that is the thing that is the sin inside of our hearts. See, the desires inside of our hearts, we all have different desires that have the propensity to move us away from God. And we're...
He did not say the desires. He said living in those sins. And by the way, if he did say the desires that are there, what is it, 1 Corinthians 6? Nope, it's 2 Corinthians. I forgot where it is. There we go. 1 Corinthians 6:9. I was right. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous are the lost. Shall not inherit, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Okay.
Born with desires away from the perfect will of God. And those desires have the potential to lead us, every single one of us, to death and relationship apart from Jesus. It's not the desire that is the sin. It's what you do with it. It's how you act on it. And this is hard. Again, this is really hard. Because in our meeting with a group of people in my office, there's this one young gal and she...
Here comes the emotional plea. For you to ignore the Bible and accept anything that comes your way because of the emotional plea.
Starts sharing her story. And she says, you know, I in many ways have become convinced that this is not what God wants for me. But I deeply love this person right next to me. And I feel like I might need to surrender this to God. And she said, I want you to know my struggle. Because I'm saying to God, as hard as this is, as difficult as this is, more than anything, I want you. And if this thing separates me from you in experiencing your joy and your peace in my life, I give it back to you. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what if God asked me to give up Stacy and my kids?
Stop. Why would God ask you to leave your wife and children and abandon them? Why would God ask you to do that? Why would he? Do you see how he's throwing something out here that is not even biblically accurate at all? Right? He's throwing something out that is not biblically accurate. But he's going to run with it because he's trying to change the dynamic, the complete dynamic of that church. He's misrepresenting God. He is crying over her giving up sin. Do you understand that? It's like looking at the drunkard with a bottle in his hand and you crying because the drunkard loves the liquor and you feel bad for him because he has to give the liquor up because he loves it so much. Do you understand that, how wicked that is? Or that a man is a fornicator and he's sitting in an office, which is what this woman is, sitting in an office with this woman who's into a lesbian relationship with another woman, and because she can't roll around like a dog in heat with this woman, he's crying and comparing it to his marriage. One is lawful. The other thing God hates. God hates one of those. God blesses the other one. God blesses holy matrimony. Because it's his way. Male and female. That's God's way. That's the only thing God calls marriage. Everything else is filthy and abominable in God's sight. And you're crying because that lady, that woman, has to give up her... Could you imagine with me if the preacher that I got saved under 21 years ago on Sunday, praise the Lord, 21 years ago on Sunday, could you imagine if the preacher looked at me and he started crying and he said, I just felt so bad and I thought about leaving my own wife of 50 years. Comparing something that is absolutely abominable with something that is holy. You know what that old preacher did? That old 70-year-old preacher pointed his bony finger and he said, you're a whoremonger and she's a whore. Yikes. And he said, God told me to say that to you. You're a whoremonger and she's a whore. And after I gulped, and that preacher said that, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, God, for sending a no-nonsense old man to take that Bible, point his finger in my face, and say she's a whore and you're a whoremonger. Because I now have been saved for 21 years by the grace of Almighty God. I have a wonderful wife and I have 7 children and 1 on the way, called to preach a ministry reaching people all over the world. for the glory of God. And it wouldn't have happened if that old man didn't look at me and tell me the truth. And God showed me very plainly, preacher, you're going to be that old man. You're going to be that old man until you die by my grace that points his finger and preaches the devil and the hell right out of all of them. You're going to tell them the truth. You're going to square your shoulders. Your forehead's going to be harder than their forehead. And you're going to tell them the truth. And you're not going to back off for this effeminate generation. And then I'll put you in the ground. Your soul will go to be with me. But until then, preach it. Tell them the truth. Don't back down. Be that rough prophet with a mantle that has to come up and preach the truth to them. Where they look and they say, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? I have found thee. I'm not saying everybody's going to do what I'm doing, and I'm not saying it, but don't you dare expect me to do something different, because this is the way that God made me and what he called me to do, and I intend to fulfill it by the grace of God until I'm dead. So they'll know that a prophet of the Lord came among them and warned them and told them the truth and didn't sit here and weep and cry like a baby over their sin. Not over their sin to be saved, but over their acceptance of sin and accepting it in them. Because that's what we've come to. If you're looking for somebody to powder your butt into hell, it ain't me. This guy will do it for you, though. I ain't that guy, and by God's grace, I ain't that guy either. Okay.
That's what death feels like. It's not easy. And sometimes we just throw out platitudes and we just say things. And pastors are the
worst. Oh, pastors are the worst at it. Yeah, I'm your worst nightmare. You better believe I am.
We just throw out platitudes.
It ain't called a platitude. No. What we do is we put the scriptures first. We put the Bible, the Word of God first, and what God says and what God has commanded in His Word. We don't put our emotions and our feelings. Man, when I wake up in the morning, if I followed my emotions, when I'm in the middle of the night and I followed my emotions, I'd be dead or in an insane asylum by now. If I followed every emotion and whim that I had or what I wanted to do, I'd be in a lot of trouble. Whole lot of trouble. The Word of God is our authority, not your emotions. Not the way you feel. We throw out these platitudes. Yeah, right is right and wrong is wrong. Sin is sin and God hates it. Don't compare some sodomite abomination to my marriage. It is not the same. But gay witches, that's what you have. Marxist, feminist, gay witches. Stay tuned for the website, though, okay? Let me say that to you. Because no doubt they're going to kick me off of YouTube. And that's fine. But always know, sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley at all service times, Wednesday night, 7:45 p.m. tonight. We'll be there, Lord willing. Rumble will be broadcasting live on Rumble, 7:45 p.m. Central Time. Okay? Sunday morning, 10:45 a.m. Central Time, we'll be broadcasting. And all three broadcasts will be on Sermon Audio, or all three broadcasts every week at 2 p.m. Central, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. 2 p.m. Central Time, we'll be there. If we get kicked off of YouTube and you don't hear from me, check Rumble at those times. And soon you'll be able to check our website because we're working on it right now. Brother Joshua's working on it hard, and we'll be going through some things here this week. in preparation. So YouTube might shut me up, but God's got way more avenues for us to go down. By the way, I want to start a chat on the website that's a centralized chat for all platforms that will go on our website. Andrew and Joshua are going to have to look into this. But where during every broadcast, you can chat right there as I'm teaching together, everybody in one spot. All right? We'll be working on it. By the way, another thing. This is just a brief little commercial until we get back to the teaching here. But another thing. Brother Carl is going to be helping me, and Mary are going to be helping me with some video editing to get short clips out there of all the preaching. Okay? So we're going to be working on that. And we'll be getting that. So Brother Carl will be producing a lot of those things for us. Him and Andrew will be working on that. So we can get a ton of short clips, highlight videos, all kinds of stuff. I can use Brother Carl's help with it and Mary's help with it, and I appreciate it. I want to reach thousands of more people with that. And I'm telling you, highlights from all the classics, highlights from all the sermons, highlights from all the broadcasts, those little 2 to 5 minute videos or 2 to 10 minute videos will be little grabbers to get people to come in and watch the rest of it. So you pray for Carl and Mary and that ministry. And there's a lot of exciting things coming to the future. But anyway, I just thought I'd give you that. All right. Are you ready to keep going? Let's do it. I don't know who that fruity guy is, but there's plenty of fruits that's around. All right, let's see. What was the next thing I want? Got to show you this. It really ticked me off. That one. Here it is. Okay. Now, this teaching right here. And, yeah, I think I do want it. Okay. Jeff Maples. I messaged him today and I said, hey, let's see. I messaged him today and I told him, I said, Jeff, I'm going to use this article. I'm going to use this article here. I told him, he said, great, post the link to your broadcast. Will do. Okay, will do. Feminists worried that men who don't believe David raped Bathsheba might be raping their wives and daughters. The evangelical social justice movement combines leftist propaganda, feminism, critical theory, and intersectionality. They disguise their agenda as biblical exegesis, but in reality, they aim to rewrite history and reinterpret scriptures to support the goal of dismantling power structures and hierarchy. Their objective is to dismantle the perceived power structure of straight white males whom they consider oppressors. They portray themselves as evil, malicious. They portray them, them, white men, as evil, malicious, power hungry, and use intersectionality to rank individuals based on their perceived oppression. The movement's foundation lies in critical theory, a Marxist ideology that encompasses various sub-ideologies, including critical race theory, gender, and sexuality. The evangelical social justice movement also advocates for egalitarianism or feminism, which seeks to place women in leadership positions within the church, contrary to biblical patriarchy, and they are making unprecedented moves to reinterpret scripture and destroy all notions of male headship in the church. This is exactly what they're doing. Okay? So their premise is, any woman that sleeps with a man in authority was automatically raped. That's not true. That's a lie. Sometimes women sleep with men in authority so they can move their way up the corporate ladder, or they can move their way up into men's other people's eyes. That's why they do it. Sometimes men do take advantage of women. Understandable. Believe it. Agree with it. As a lost man, I took advantage of women. I got drunk. I partied. I did all kinds of stuff. Smoked dope, ran around, partied, fornicated, did all kinds of stuff. So I'm not going to lie to you. I did that stuff when I was a lost man. I ran around and lived my life like hell. I didn't care if I didn't care about any of the women that I ran around with or anything like that, of course. That's just the truth. But a lot of those women didn't either. And most of them didn't. And most of them knew what they were doing too. So she says, this woman says, David raped. It's important we get that right. Well, 2 Samuel chapter 11 never says that David raped Bathsheba. It says that it was mutual. Right? If you look at 2 Samuel chapter 11 versus 2 Samuel chapter 13, you see the difference. The Bible shows in 2 Samuel chapter 11 that Bathsheba willingly came to David when David called her. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him and lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. What happened? She willingly did that. She also willingly went on the roof naked and washed herself in plain sight. So there is definitely sin on both accounts. You know who was an innocent girl? Tamar. Tamar was an innocent girl. Tamar was the one that was taken advantage of and raped. Tamar didn't put herself in that position. She wasn't partying with the king. She wasn't, I'm not saying Bathsheba was drinking, but I'm just saying she wasn't drinking. She wasn't partying. She wasn't putting herself into a precarious situation. Bathsheba was. So you see the difference in the, so the Bible lays out when a woman is taken advantage of, right? Now, David was wrong. He was in the sin. God held David accountable. He also held the woman accountable by, both of them accountable by killing the baby. God let the baby die. But despite the actual biblical evidence that is here, they have a different story. Right? There's nothing in the text that demonstrates such a sexual encounter between David and Bathsheba, and God seems to hold both accountable for their sin by killing their children. Yet despite the actual biblical evidence that suggests that David did not rape Bathsheba, the woke feminists have redefined the term to include any sexual encounter involving someone who has power and someone who does not. This could be an affair between a church pastor and a female congregant. Right? This could be an affair between a male employer and a female employee, or a government official and a female citizen. This new ideology paints any sexual encounter between such people as non-consensual encounter by default, simply by the very virtue of the Marxist power structure. In all these situations, it assumes that the woman is unable to consent because the male holds power over her. So it basically clears every woman of impropriety and always blames the man. That's what it does. But now they have taken it at an even darker level and are applying this to the husband and wife relationship. So here's now what they're saying. They're saying that, well, I'll show you what they're saying. Sheila Gregoire is a Canadian author, blogger, and speaker who writes and speaks about marriage, sexuality, and Christian living from a leftist feminist perspective. She is the author of several books, including The Good Girl's Guide to Great, yeah, well, you guessed it, Thoughts That Can Change Your Marriage, and To Love, Honor, and Vacuum. And she has become very influential in woke evangelical circles. Here's what she says. I want to say this carefully, but firmly. There is a reason to be worried for wives and daughters of the pastors and other men who have been tweeting about how David didn't rape Bathsheba. The woman you know in real life may need your help. All right, let's stop right there. Okay? Let's stop there. Because I look at what the scriptures say plainly about Bathsheba and David and Bathsheba, and I do believe that David, being the king of Israel and being a man of God, God held both of them accountable, but David knew better. So did Bathsheba, but David was a man, and I always hold men accountable for what they do. All of us, we're accountable for what we do. It's the lust that was in David's heart that he did not check with the Holy Ghost. When kings went out to battle, David was sitting, lounging in the temple, or excuse me, in the palace, gawking at women when he should have been out warring, fighting the good fight of faith. You know what men are doing? If you're sitting around watching pornography while others are spiritually battling, you're in sin. Man, I get so defiled looking at just articles. I'm flipping through articles and I'm like, oh, there it goes. Another one in a sports bra. Another. I'm talking about news. And I'm not talking about spam. It's just ridiculous. I hate it. Got to just keep scrolling through as fast as you can to read stuff and not look at anything. Because they just want to defile you. They're just wicked. It's this world that's bent on perversion. Anyway, so men are, we realize men are responsible for what they do. Period. Period. Not the woman, it's the lust that's in your heart. Every man is drawn away and enticed of his own lust. He just has to see the right object if that lust is not in check. An opportunity comes, he will sin. Even a saved man. David was saved. He had the Holy Ghost. He had the same Holy Ghost that you have. God never took his spirit from David. Okay? Now listen. She says, she makes this accusation, there's reason to be worried for the wives and daughters of pastors and other men who have been tweeting about how David didn't rape Bathsheba. The women you know in real life may need your help. Okay, stop. I have five daughters, and I don't look at my daughters like I look at my wife. I mean, seriously. Really? I don't look at my daughters like I look at my wife. First of all, number one, number two, Sheila suggests that those who can't see the non-consensual nature of David and Bathsheba are unlikely to understand consent in their marriages. What does that mean exactly? Men who hold a hierarchical view of marriage are more likely to feel entitled to sex and not understand what consent. Oh. Oh, I got to find that. Hang on a second. I think it's here. Hang on a second. Nope, it's not that one. Let me think for a second. Let me think. Hold on. That one. Thank you, Brother Joshua. I can't think for some reason right now. That's the one I am. Yes. Okay. I titled this sermon a long time ago. I preached on this specific topic that I'm pointing at in 1 Corinthians 7, right? Now, concerning things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, disposition of goodwill, kindness, charitableness, the love of mankind, benevolence, right? Okay. And likewise, also the wife unto the husband. The wife, look at this. Look at this. Is it possible for me to rape my wife? I'm putting that in quotes. Okay? Is it possible for me to rape my wife? I don't think so. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. So, in other words, my wife has power. Go away, Siri. My wife, and likewise also the husband, hath not power of his own body, but the wife. We are one flesh. My wife has power over my body, and I have power over her body. We're not our own. Defraud ye not one another, except it we be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. You know what incontinency is? It's a lack of control over, it's a lack of control of the passions and desires. Want of restraint of the passions or appetites. Free or uncontrolled indulgence of the passions or appetites. Want of restraint of the sexual appetite. Right? So the only time we're to withhold one another, withhold that is with consent, that we both agree to fast one night or something like that, and we're going to ask and we're going to pray or whatever the case may be. We're not talking about a woman right after she has a baby or is physically impossible or whatever at the time, whatever. You know what I mean. We're talking about normal cases. That's what Paul's talking about, a regular basis here. He says it's to defraud one another. So how in the world could I rape my wife, or how could my wife rape me? That's stupid. How could she rape her own property? My body belongs to her. Her body belongs to me. That's why, as a man, I don't have a right to go out and fornicate. I don't have a right to go out and use my body in perversion. Why? Because my body belongs to her. It's in a covenant with her. That's why I don't have a right to sleep around. Because my body belongs to her. And her body belongs to me. That's the truth of Scripture. What this lady is preaching is witchcraft. She's teaching you to disobey the Scriptures. That's what she's teaching. Go ahead and disobey the Scriptures. Go ahead and do something that's opposite of what God said in His Word. You know why a lot of marriages end up bad, Christian marriages? You want to know why a lot of men and women, they wait until their children are grown and then they leave their spouse? Let's see. Here it is. You ought to listen to this if you haven't listened to it. It's on premarital counseling. You ought to follow it. Defense against Satan's end time attack on Christian marriages. Benevolence means kindness. Do kindness to your husband or wife. It's due love. But you look at that. What are they preaching? They're preaching something totally different because they're a bunch of witches is what they are. Paul said very plainly. If you ever want to get into trouble, you just go ahead and ignore that and watch your husband leave. A lot of women don't fulfill the marriage bed at all. They starve their men for affection. They starve their men for the marriage bed. And then they wonder why the man leaves at like 50 some years old or 60 years old or 45 years old or whatever it is. And they take off and they leave. And they wonder why. Well, they do it very plainly because a lot of times their wives have nothing to do with them. Because they believe that the marriage bed is only to be fulfilled from their end as far as them being happy. If they're happy to do it, then that's fine. If they're not happy to observe that, then that's okay. But that's not biblical. Men who hold a hierarchical view of marriage are more likely to feel entitled, she says. Well, you are entitled. A man is entitled to sleep with his wife. And a wife is entitled to sleep with her husband. She then advises people to interfere in marriage relationships, going to men's wives and kids behind their back. Try something like this. You know, the rates of marital abuse and sexual coercion in marriage are so high. And the problem is we can never know what goes on behind closed doors. So I'm just telling all my friends, if you ever need help, if you ever need to talk, I'm here. You need to ask directly to your friends if they're okay. Many won't admit anything is wrong at first. Let them know you are a safe option. Ask her. Here's another approach. Ask her how we can help women in our church identify sexual coercion in marriage. Sexual coercion in marriage? What a little short-haired witch. Then list the signs of coercion. Having sex to prevent something bad from happening. Him yelling at you or the kids. Withholding money. Embarrassing you in public, etc. See, this Sheila Gregor, what she is a Jezebel witch. She's using the marriage bed as a form of manipulation to control her husband. If you know men in real life have been arguing vociferously against David raping Bathsheba, that should be taken seriously. If you're in a position to reach out, please do. You may be the one God will use to help rescue. They hate the patriarchy. They hate leadership. That woman is a busybody in other men's affairs. She wants to go into people's marriages. A man that wants to sleep with his wife, a woman that should want to sleep with her husband, and try to get in there and affect that. Where Paul says, if that woman doesn't, right? If that woman doesn't obey the marriage bed, then guess what? She's in sin. You understand that, right? If a husband and wife withhold one another from each other, that's sin. And it gives Satan an advantage. Look what the Bible says will happen. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time. That you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Now, no husband should be insensitive to his wife if she's sick, if she doesn't feel good legitimately, by the way. But you know what? No wife ought to withhold from her husband in a normal fashion, in an everyday thing, right? No husband ought to do that. And wife ought to do that to one another on purpose. Sometimes as a husband and wife, you need to do things that you're not comfortable with like that. If they're not unbiblical. Maybe you don't feel good. That doesn't matter. It doesn't have anything to do with how you feel. It's right or wrong. It's using wisdom. But this woman calls it abuse. That's not abuse. But they hate the patriarchy. They hate male leadership. They hate men. Why? Because they're a bunch of gay Marxist feminist witches. That's why. All of them are. All the people that I showed you today, that's exactly who they are. Let's see. Teresa says, what if impossible to do health reasons? I'm sure you can figure it out. Or not you, but whoever the person is that you're talking about. I'm sure they can figure it out. I'm sure that God has given you enough ingenuity and understanding about what can be done about those things. But the point is that obviously there may be certain situations where people are, you know, physically damaged or something. We're not talking about that. And that's generally speaking, that's not the issue. Generally speaking. But it is a very important issue when people withhold like that, when husbands and wives withhold from each other. They set up a lot of dangerous things for relationships can get very bad very quickly. Because God designed men and women to be able to fulfill that marriage bed that tampers it, it suppresses the lust that is in a man's heart or woman's. It suppresses that lust. It gives them an avenue to express that with their husband or wife. That's how God designed it. But these people hate God so much and they hate God's way so much that they want to try to destroy that. Okay. Well, amen. All right. So hope you learned some things from that. Let's see. Let's play a song here and I'll give you a chance to say hi before we get off here. Not that one. That one.
What's wrong with the old black book my daddy used to read from? Is it so outdated by modern translation? Revised standards and good news are everywhere I look. Oh, won't somebody tell me what's wrong with the old black book?
People who know not my God just cannot understand the spiritual inspired word of God not given by some man. They've all agreed by joining hands in a worldwide movement to change that blessed old black book and set out to improve it.
What's wrong with the old black book my daddy used to read from? Is it so outdated by modern translation? Revised standards and good news are everywhere I look. Oh, won't somebody tell me what's wrong with your black book?
Jesus said, I am the shepherd, my sheep follow me. As the voice of strangers speaks, they shall turn and flee. The words my daddy used to read, I've learned to love so dear. But all these other words I hear are strangers to my ears.
What's wrong with the old black book my daddy used to read from? Is it so outdated by modern translations? Revised standards and good news are everywhere I go. So won't somebody tell me what's wrong with the old black book?
Well, the enemy is much too smart to jump right in and say, just forget all that you have learned of God, 'cause it's not true anyway. And they're making plans in years to come to take God from our minds by giving us new Bibles changed a little bit each time.
What's wrong with the old black book my daddy used to read from? Is it so outdated by modern translations? Revised standards and good news are everywhere I look. Oh, won't somebody tell me what's wrong with the old black book? What's wrong with the old black book my daddy used to read from? Is it so outdated by modern translations? Revised standards and good news are everywhere I look. What's wrong with the old black book?
Oh, won't somebody tell me? There's no one who can tell me what's wrong with the old King James, King James.
Let's see. Okay, so the question was asked, head coverings and such. I did get that, Fabian. Thank you. Lord, did get that. It came through on the PayPal. That. It worked. Back in the old days, women wore hats in church. Yes, but when you notice at the end of what Paul says, he says, and we have no such custom in the churches. I believe that a husband is a covering. I believe a hair is a covering. I don't think there's any power in a head covering for a woman, a physical head covering for a woman. But it was a custom in churches. I see nowhere in the scriptures where it's a command that you have to wear one. I just don't see it. So that's kind of the position I've come to. If I thought it was biblical, I'd preach it. If I thought a physical head covering was something that should be there, then I would preach it. I don't care who it made mad. You know, to be honest with you. Yep, Danielle, I'm typing fast. It's probably a typo. I'm sure. Believe me, when I'm trying to... First of all, I hate this keyboard. I'm used to a Mac keyboard, and I just cannot type on this. And yeah, it was a typo. I hate typing on this thing. But yes, that was a typo. So, anyway. But, you know, there's David Cloud has some things on head coverings as well. You can look into his. I have no conviction someone using, I think you should wear one in church. I don't believe there's a scriptural command for it. Again, I think that's a matter of some people in that sense. Okay? So anyway, all right, we're about done here, but pray for pray for us that the Lord would continue to bless us, bless our trip and everything else, and that the Lord would use it to the glory of God and all that stuff, and you know, thank God for His goodness to us. Amen. So. Got people giving towards the trip, and we're excited about that. And I look forward to really being a blessing to all of you out there and showing you everything that God has for us. And I mean, it'll be this trip, the footage and everything else will be used for a long time in the future for many different things. So along with live things there and everything like that. So I'm excited about what God's going to do with that. Just pray for everyone. And, we appreciate all of you out there. And all right, everybody, listen, 2 p.m. Central Time, Friday, be back. I think I'm going to do another AI update. I found out some more weird stuff. And my goodness, is it ever Antichrist? My paperwork is done. Yes, I got my passport. I got my card. I got everything. So 31 days to go before we board a plane and get to England. I'm excited. It's going to go fast. So I appreciate you all. Thank you for your giving and your faithfulness and your kindness and your prayers. Thank you for all that. All right, everybody. Tonight, which is like 3.5 hours from now, 7:45, 3 hours and 40 minutes or so, 7:45 p.m. Central. If you'd like to, you can listen on Rumble or on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. Okay? All right, everybody. We'll be preaching live tonight. All right. God bless you.